بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 11th of January in the year 2016 and inshallah going through the core subject of the glorious deen to move now onto the important subject of family and related matters. So first of all, with regards to one's parents, with regards to the immense rights of one's parents, it would suffice to mention the following report. In Kanzul Umal, number 45,517, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person's salah will not be accepted as long as his parents are displeased with him on some reasonable account. A person's salah will not be accepted as long as his parents are displeased with him on some reasonable account. So let's look at this. So this narration indicates clearly that part of the establishment of salat, which the Quran enjoins, is that you must fulfill the rights of your parents. Because there's a link between the two. If the parents are displeased, but not on some reasonable account, then the salat of yours will not be accepted. The warning applies to the person who angers his parents for a reason that is not valid in the Shariat. So think about that. A person may think he's very strong in his salat, but he's not fulfilling the rights of his parents. So simply put, he's wasting his time. The salah has not been accepted. And who said that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it must be for some reasonable account. In the work by Sheikh Abdul Malik Mujahid, Golden Stories of Muslim Women, page 148, it mentions in there, a Bedouin woman's son died, and she continued to weep bitterly, and wrinkles appeared on her cheeks as a result. She thereupon recited, i.e. the Quran, Surah 2, verse 156, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong, and to Him we shall return. She thereupon said, O my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed you know the parents' boundless love for their children. That is why you have not perhaps ordered them to affectionately treat their children. Whilst in contrast, you knew that the children would disobey their parents, and therefore you ordered the children to show kindness to their parents and to obey them. So let's look at this. So obviously every mother has the natural love for her child. So this woman, she lost her son. And she's weeping. And she's weeping and weeping. And she's obviously reciting the Quran. And she thereupon said something very interesting. She said, and she's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know full well the parents' boundless love for their children. That is why you have not perhaps ordered them to affectionately treat their children. Now think about that. If you read the entire Quran, is there a single verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the parents, show affection to your children? And unbelievably, you will not find that in the Quran. Think about that. If somebody says, is there a verse in the Quran that says, oh mother or father or parent, show love to your children? Not a single verse. So this Bedouin woman had worked it out. She goes, the reason you've probably done this, O Lord, is because this is something that they will do anyway. But you knew that children would disobey their parents. Therefore, you ordered the children to show kindness to their parents and to obey them. So look at the contrast there. There's actually a lesson and a lesson in the Quran. Why is Allah the Almighty only mentioned the children's obedience to their parents? Birrun walidain. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and show obedience to your parents. Why is it always the children to the parents? Never the parents to the children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that's where the problems are going to lie. It's with the children. And you experience this. They say that the parents have unconditional love. Note the reinvention of the wheel. By many when they say this, we love them with an unconditional love. But we don't need this sloppy English. Why? Because this has been beautifully deduced if you look at the Quran. And the Bedouin woman detected this. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon her and her son. Amen. But note conversely, the children are reminded by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again to honor and respect their parents. For most of us are simply oblivious to all the sacrifices they have made and are still making for us. It's obviously one of the things that we would, you know, they keep reminding you. When you was ill, when you was young, you can't remember. You hear the story from the elders. Yes, you was rushed to the hospital and you're just listening to like a, you know, like a third party, but they're talking about you. You can't remember anything. You was very ill and etc, etc. So this is again just part of their rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us. And this is why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that he mentioned a few verses of the Quran. And this is in Zahabi in his Kabair. And he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He will not accept obedience to Him if you show disobedience to your parents. And he recites the famous verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey your Lord and obey your parents. The word wa is mentioned. And. Now why is Allah ta'ala put them together? Because you can't separate the two. So going back to the initial report where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person's salat will not be accepted as long as his parents are displeased with him on some reasonable account. This is only echoing the glorious Quran. Indeed, it is through this that the Prophet mentioned the following sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. To teach some aspect of good manners to your child is still better than spending a sa, approximately 3.5 kilograms of grain, in sadaqah. To teach some aspect of good manners to your child is still better than spending a sa, approximately 3.5 kilograms of grain, in sadaqah. So imagine, a person gives in sadaqah from the pure wealth, obviously, 3.5 kilograms of grain. How many people benefit from that? So obviously if it goes to the poor parts of the world, you know, families, you know, many families can benefit from this. And we mentioned some of the virtues of sadaqah in the previous sessions. What is better than that, imagine, is when you teach your own children something about the deen. It specifically mentions here manners. Now what's strange? The strangeness there is, though it is an unconditional love, you will do that anyway. Allah the Almighty and Glorious still rewards you for it. But the sadness is now, is that children usually are neglected by their parents. Think about that. You know how easy it is to get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and is far more concerned for our welfare than even our parents. For though we are duty bound to educate our children, the Almighty and Glorious still graciously rewards on this. Subhanallah. As Sayyidina Anas relates to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will call each person to account in respect of the subjects whom He has entrusted to them. Did He ruin them or protect them? Until He will call the man to account in respect of his household. This is in Nasa'i, number 9174, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahihah, number 1636. So let's look at this. So this is a Sahih Hadith. So the first thing the Prophet mentioned, very famous part of the Hadith also in Bukhari and Muslim, you will be a call to account. Everybody is a shepherd and you are responsible for your flock. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did he ruin them or protect them? And then it says you will be called to account in respect of your household. Meaning it's your duty bound to look after them. Thus, it is the duty of every parent not to just educate their children, but also strive to protect them from from all possible harm is the difference. Education is one thing, to protect them is another condition. Look at the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he ruin them or protect them? A lot of people think, no, it doesn't matter. That's not my duty. I'm just educating them. That's not correct. You also have a responsibility to protect them. Mentioned here by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protection, however, does not mean tyranny. For Hafiz al-Daynuri rahmatullahi alayhi, it is Mujalasa 3-40, he elucidated. Despite how firm he was, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, a man should act as playful as a child with his wife, but act like a real man when the need arises. Despite how firm he was, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, a man should act as playful as a child with his wife, but act like a real man when the need arises. Meaning you should be very soft. That's the natural tendency. However, when there's a need to be firm, you show firmness. And who said that? Umar radiallahu anhu. And did he himself show this? Yes, he did. Even though you might think he was harsh with his family, he was harsh in the sense of being the Khalif. He goes, I will punish you double if you commit any crime because of my role as the Amir al-Mu'mineen. But he was very soft with them as well. For instance, once a man had a problem with his wife, and he just ran out of the house, and he was going towards Amir al-Mu'mineen's dwelling, and he hears Hazrat Umar's wife raising her voice above Hazrat Umar. So the man thought, pointless going to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he's got the same problem as me. But then Umar somehow got to know that this man had come. He goes, why did you know, what's happening? He's Amir al-Mu'mineen, because I had a problem, but you got the same problem, I don't think you can help me. Because what's the problem? Because my wife is basically giving me grief. So Hazrat Umar then told him, he said, she washes my clothes, she fulfills my needs, she looks after the children. And he mentioned all these other things. He goes, shouldn't I overlook some of her failings? So think about that. So how soft was Umar with his wife? But you notice the strictness came when he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, where did you get that from? And he goes, put it back, Bayt al-Mal. This is to do with the role as the Khalif, not as the father and the husband. So note, there's a difference. And this is what it means, that you be firm with your family. Thus, there is a time and place for discipline, but this should not be the norm. Thabit ibn Ubaid, he said, rahmatullah alayh, in Sharh al-Sunnah 13-183, Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu was the most joyful person when at home. But once he went out, he was a real dignified man. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu was the most joyful person when at home. But once he went out, he was a real dignified man. Zayd ibn Thabit was the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recorded in Tirmidhi. He was the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tirmidhi, Hasan Sahih, the most learned in the fara'id, the obligatory duties or the inheritance, is Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu. He was the chief scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his virtues go on and on. One of the men said, when he was at home, he was so joyful. But when he left the house, he was very dignified. So what was he doing? He was explaining again the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, one of the children's rights, which many sadly neglect and later regret, is simply to find a good mother for them before they are even conceived. So he goes, if you fulfill your children's rights, he goes, yes, brother, I've given them, a good education. He goes, no. Have you chosen a good mother for your children? The guy's bewildered. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I can't choose my mother for my children. I'm married. Well, there's your problem. You weren't thinking of your children. You should think of getting a good mother for your child immediately when looking for the partner. That's one of the rights of children. Consider the following most informative report about the famous personality in the Arab world called Shun rahmatullah alayh. Shun rahmatullah alayh was known for his great intelligence and sagacity, and the time for his marriage was now due. He thus started looking for a suitable match. So this is recorded by Hafiz al-Mada'ini rahmatullah alayh in his Majma al-Amthal 3-418. He states, Shun rahmatullah alayh, he said, I will visit all the places of my area to find a suitable wife. And this is interesting. obviously should make life easy as possible. You know why I go on the other side of the world? I will visit all the places of my area to find a suitable wife. So what happened? One day he planned to visit a nearby village for that purpose. He had hardly traveled out of his own village when a man met him. The stranger was also on his way to the same village as Shun, rahmatullah alayhi, was going. Thus they accompanied each other. So this man said, where are you off to? Because I'm going to this village, I'm going to the village. We'll go together. When both of them were about to start the journey, Shun rahmatullah alayhi asked, oh my companion, will you lift me or should I lift you? Oh my companion, will you lift me or should I lift you? So the stranger said, oh, how strange, has a mounted person ever picked up another mounted person? He said, what are you asking? They then moved ahead a little and saw fields where the crop had ripened. Shun rahmatullah alayhi said, what do you think? Have the grains of this field been eaten? What do you think? Have the grains of this field been eaten? So the stranger is even more baffled. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, don't you see the crop is still standing? How can they be eaten? They move further ahead. And this time they witnessed a funeral. So Shun rahmatullah alayhi asked his companion, what do you think? Is the man in the shroud alive or dead? Now the patience of the stranger had crossed its limits. He replied, I have seen many illiterate and stupid people in the world, but you have taken the lead from them all. Have you ever seen a living man's funeral being taken to the graveyard? Why are you asking these silly questions? In the meantime, they reached the village. The man then reached his dwelling and he mentioned this strange encounter with his daughter called Tabaka. Tabaka then asked her father, could you mention the things what he asked? What was the three things he asked you, father? She asked their father. He goes, you misunderstood him. He goes, he's actually a very intelligent person. So the father goes, what do you mean he's very intelligent? He goes, what was the first thing he asked you? He goes, he asked me, will you lift me or should I lift you? She explained his intention was that he wanted to talk to you to make the journey more pleasant. In other words, when you're traveling, pleasant speech makes the walk or the journey shorter. Because that's what he was intending. So the father goes, I didn't realize. He goes, what was the second thing he said to you? So the father says, what do you think? Have the grains of the field been eaten? She said, he meant, has the owner of the field sold the standing crop already? In other words, it's still there, but maybe it's sold. It's already been taken. So the father then goes, I didn't realize. He goes, what was the third question? He said, whether the shrouded man is alive or dead. She said, he meant whether the deceased had left behind pious children or any such significant achievement through which people would continue to remember him in good words. That's what he meant. The girl's father was stunned. He immediately went in search for Shun in the same village. He found him and he conveyed what his daughter had interpreted. He goes, forgive me because I didn't know what you were saying, but my daughter has understood what you said. Shun thereupon said, I was looking for this woman. Therefore he sought the girl's hand, married her and brought her back to his village. When the people noticed her intelligence and wisdom, they spontaneously said, remember, O young men, Shun found an intelligent and sagacious damsel, Tabaka. From that day onwards, this sentence became part of folklore, i.e. in the Arabic language. So now this statement, remember young men, Shun rahmatullah alayhi found an intelligent and sagacious damsel, Tabaka. That, if you ask most of the Arabs, they know what that means. What that means, they know the story as well. It's one of those, you know, famous narratives that they know. And because this shows that the importance of striving to find the righteous match. Shun left his village. And he knew that this man was from that village. So he could have said to him, I'm looking for a partner, if you have any daughters. But that wouldn't have done anything. He wanted somebody to understand his wisdom. So he gave it to the father. He didn't know. He didn't know what he was talking about. He goes, what sort of a questions are you asking? He goes, I've never seen such a fool, more foolish than you. But he had a good memory. He remembered it. Then when he told his daughter, she understood it. And what did Shun say? I was looking for this one. But be honest, when we heard it, when I was going through it, what's he on about? What's he talking about? But the other thing is, the statement he deliberately made sound like he was foolish. He was very intelligent. So note that when one strives to find a righteous wife, Allah the Almighty and Glorious accommodates that for him. But you must strive. Don't just sit back and say, yeah, you know, some saintly woman's going to come to my house. Father's going to knock on the door and say, look, you know, you've got a son, I've got a daughter, let's sort it out. It's not going to happen. If it does, you're very fortunate. Usually you got to strive. And even the saintly man had to do it. And he found the woman he was looking for. And this is very similar to what people do now. You know, when they want to get married. And they got all those like questions they ask. Imagine asking those three questions on your CV. Think, oh, this is a bloody fruitcake. But it shows that, you know, your questions should be very intelligent, the way you ask questions. All the foolish women will think, well, you're stupid. Well, intelligent woman will look at the questions, she'll think, hang on a minute, this is actually a very intelligent way of asking questions. So again, bole bali musulman. One last example. Indeed, our heritage is full of such noble, intelligent women. Consider the following. In Majallatul Faisal 126, An-Nisa Zakiyat Jiddan 43, it mentions, once an old woman appeared before the Ottoman ruler Suleiman Anun. So who's Suleiman Anun? He was the ruler of the Turkish Khilafat from 1520 to 1566. 46 years he was the ruler. So this old woman appeared before him with the complaint, your soldiers have stolen my cattle whilst I was sleeping in my dwelling. So the Sultan, he admonished the old woman. He said to her, it was important for you to have stayed awake all night to protect your cattle. Thus, why were you sleeping? To which she replied most tactfully, O Sultan, I thought that you were always awake to protect us. Therefore, I went to sleep calmly without fearing anything. Suleiman smiled at the beautiful reply. He responded, Ma'akhi haqq, you have spoken the truth, and he compensated her for her trouble. So look at all these beautiful narratives that's recorded in our, you know, in our books of history. An old woman, imagine, can an old woman approach David Cameron? This is only 500 years ago. Imagine in the time of the Sahaba, just 500 years, even less than 500 years, 1520, 1566. Mm-hmm. All women are approaching their rulers. And they're just asking, because look, you know, how come your soldiers have stolen my cattle? And the Sultan got angry. He thought, well, she's rebuking me. And he goes, you should have stayed awake. And he goes, well, you're the Sultan. I thought you was awake. And he said, you're right. And he compensated her. So all I mentioned today was a few blessed reports with regards to now family matters. And I started with a few reports with regards to parents, because that's the most important family type. And then I moved on to some related matters also, hopefully learning a few lessons therefrom. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk adhibu allahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr sadaqallahu al azim.